In our latest installment of MasterCard's Leadership Series, we have MasterCard's Carolyn Balfany on the program talking about EMV migration status and where we stand today. Welcome to our show in the next installment of the MasterCard Leadership Series. And on the program, we have MasterCard's Carolyn Balfany here today. How's it going, Carolyn?
It's going well.
Good, good. We are talking EMV like we haven't talked about it enough the last few weeks. But hey, there's always something new to talk about. And with the EMV liability shift already well passed on October 1st, where do we stand now with this movement? I mean, there's some pretty hefty numbers that we're dealing with here right now. Where do we stand?
There are. I love, first of all, that you say we're well into it. You know, yes. 20 some odd days. Yeah. It's great. So things are going really well. We're seeing a tremendous number of consumers report that they already have chip-enabled cards in their wallets.
Yay.
As a matter of fact, in the past week or so, I got preliminary results from our last quantitative study, mm-hmm. and it told us that 54% of U.S. consumers were telling us that they had at least one chip card in their wallet. That rings pretty true to the stats we're seeing across the market, mm-hmm. where the estimate is something in the 30 to 45% of cards have been reissued. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the year, we're thinking that about 60% of all credit and debit cards are going to be reissued as chip.
Wow. I mean, that's pretty impressive considering, what is it? I was doing some stats here. 1.2 billion cards. Is that the number that we're talking about? I mean, that's a massive amount of plastic.
It is a massive amount of plastic, and when you think about those 1.2 million cards are being distributed to a whole population in the U.S. of about 315 million
yeah.
consumers.
It's amazing. So now let's get to another side of the coin here. What do we do about the credit unions who aren't ready yet, or even worse, the ones that don't even want to go EMV? What do we do about them? How can we help them, or what do we do here?
Well, first of all, it is a choice,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Everyone decides when it makes sense for them to go to EMV, and we still believe that, mm-hmm. although I would put out some watch outs, right? When we know that more than half of consumers already have chip cards, and we also have research available to all of our customers that dives in a little deeper about consumer attitudes. And what they tell us is they have a halo effect for those financial institutions that give them chip cards. Mm-hmm. They see them as progressive. They see them as innovative. They see them as caring about their payment security. Mm-hmm. And so that's a lot of good that can come from issuing a little chip card. So I think we've got some good resources available to inform the decision. And then once the credit union has decided that they want to move ahead, we also have a lot of materials available to support that actual migration. We've taken consumers, we've put them in usability studies repetitively for the past couple of years and tested and retested card mailers and inserts mm-hmm. and pre-notifications to make sure we get that communication right so that it maximizes the value and that it also makes sure that when they get their card, they actually know what to do with it.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you know, I'm glad you brought up the whole thing about having confidence in your credit union or even a bank, and that's for that matter, because I got my chip-enabled card from San Diego County Credit Union, a little shout out. but I've had it for a few weeks now, and those were the exact same feelings that I felt when I got my card. I said, you know what? My credit union gets it. I feel more confident in them. I feel more secure, and I think they're very innovative. So, I mean, that enhances that trust and that loyalty that much more. And so I'm so glad you brought that stuff up.
Yeah, it is. You know, isn't it interesting? Because as we start to think about it, so much of what we do around safety and security is invisible, right?
Yeah.
It's in a neural network, and it's in installing a new application and a fraud mitigation technique. But with a chip card, it's really visible. The consumer see it, they can feel it, mm-hmm. they use it different. And so it really is an opportunity.
Yeah, it's a tangible thing, you know, something that's few and far between these days with living in the digital world. All right, let's talk about the retailers, or actually let's talk about, for those that are ready, what can they do to educate their members on their EMV enabled cards usage? Because there's a few little education tips here that they need to know.
Yeah, yeah. So they should definitely make use of the resources I was talking about, the pre-notification and the card carriers, because those have been tested, and it's important. One of the things we learned, which may seem painfully obvious, but it's really important, is that consumers don't read. And so if you try to give them these messages in text, you will lose. So you have to give them top line text paired with some nice visuals, and then the messages really resonate in a different way. And so, you know, the other thing that we learned is that you need to tell them their card's coming. Very interestingly, if a consumer just gets a card unsolicited, sometimes they think it's a new offer with different terms.
Good point.
May reject it. In fact, one consumer early on said, the moderator said, well, what would you do with that card? And they said, oh, I'd cut it up immediately. And, you know, everybody's heart stopped because that's an expensive chip card. But it was because they said, well, I already have a card I like. And it just wasn't clear to them that it was their same card, their same product, only better.
Yeah. So a little pre-qualification, a little pre-education there for them to let them know, hey, something cool is on the way.
That's right.
Don't cut that car up. All right, now let's get to the retailers, the other side of the coin. What can be done about their readiness or even in some cases reluctance? Because there's a lot of retailers out there that are reluctant about doing their end of the bargain. So what do we do about these folks?
Yeah. Well, so first of all, where are we, right?
Yeah.
It's true that there's probably, you know, something nearing 25% of merchant locations enabled, and that'll go up to 30 something or 40 by the end of the year. The important thing to know about that is it's a lot of retailers that consumers frequent, right? So while it may not be 80% of all merchants that you interact with, it does typically include the merchants that you interact with repetitively, which means more secure payments. So that's a win. The other thing that we're all doing as an industry is really talking to small businesses about what the benefit of EMV is, and that it's not just about accepting card payments sometimes, but it's actually getting ready to accept contactless NFC payments also. And so as consumers increasingly show up with their mobile phones and they want to pay with those, being ready. And the great news is that I think the small businesses are unfairly characterized sometimes as not caring. And that's exactly the opposite of what MasterCard is. Some fun footage that people can go look at is we did some small business makeovers where we actually went out and small businesses applied to be selected. We randomly selected some, upgraded them, and talked to them about their upgrade process.
Yeah, I saw those. Those are very well done. We will definitely post them on our website. Very cool stuff. It's been said that many times EMV is not the silver bullet. And to eliminate this card-related fraud, what is it then? I mean, is it a step in the right direction to maybe get rid of the magnetic stripe, or what's going on? I mean, what can we call EMV? A stepping stone, or it's not a silver bullet?
What I like to call it is the platform for the next generation of payments, which is pretty grand, but let's think about this, right? It is a global standard that's applied in contact and contactless payments. So every time we're making a transaction, it creates unique data that makes that transaction more secure. It's a smarter transaction, right? It's got more information embedded in it, which then the reason we talk about it as the platform for the next generation is because it truly is what's powering not the just the transformation with the card to having the chip on the front and maybe the magnetic stripe going away at some point, but also the mobile devices that we're starting to use, because every transaction done with those mobile devices is a chip grade transaction. And so it's creating the same kind of smart transaction. So I think it's really important that everyone embrace this change as really this beginning of this next generation of smarter payments. I think it also allows everybody to look at the investment a little differently, because when you're investing in making your system smarter to handle that data, then you're really preparing yourself for that whole next generation.
Yeah, and that's what's going through the government right now with the, I think there's the Data Security Act or something like that. We're trying to get an even playing field for everybody, some standard that we can all adhere to. So with, you know, with financial institutions, retailers, et cetera, et cetera. And this, I mean, you're right. It sounds like we are on our way. It's a step in the right direction.
That's right.
Indeed. All right. to wrap up, Carolyn, what does the future look like? We already talked about, you know, kind of, you already touched on it a little bit for EMV. I mean, with Apple Pay and Android Pay and all these smartphone solutions and stuff out there, I mean, will there even be a need for EMV in a few years, or is it going to go by the wayside of the floppy disk or the Betamax, or what can we expect?
Well, not in the foreseeable future. I'll remind everybody that MagStripe has been around for decades.
And so
I would expect the same for EMV as the base technology. But look, the fact is that we're all going to have to smartly continue to invest in multiple technologies to really advance security. The fraudsters are innovative, they're committed, and they're going to stay at it, and we're going to have to stay at it as well to stay out ahead of them. Mm-hmm. The good news is a lot of these same technologies that we're going to employ are going to make the consumer interaction easier and more seamless. So like as we lay on biometrics is a terrific example. And we're going to be able to enable different consumer experiences. So that's all good. So there's some fun stuff that comes with the less attractive, sexy stuff of security.
Exactly. Yeah, and it kind of comes full circle too for those financial institutions who are kind of reluctant with EMV and stuff. You brought up the fraudsters, and they're very sophisticated these days, and they're going to go the path of least resistance. They're going to go to the weakest link. And so if you're kind of leaving yourself hanging in the wind there, you could be in a little bit of trouble.
That's right. Yep. That's right. That's why we want to make so many resources available.
Yep.
So that everybody who chooses to move ahead really has the resources to do that.
To make a smart decision. Great message to end on, Carolyn. Thank you so much for this education. I love it. I love this stuff.